Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stay with me. I promise you, it's going to be interesting. 30 minutes of motivation, inspiration, some education, and we do it without any manipulation because we don't have hidden agendas and we're not trying to con you. We're not trying to solicit money. We're not trying to ask you to join anything. Our job is to simply give you accurate information. Information that comes from the canon of Scripture, the Bible. That's right. The Bible. It's a show about the Bible, but not like a show you've heard before. Yet no ranting, no raving, no jumping up and down, no loud yelling and preaching, just accurate information. And it's all designed to make you aware of what God's plan for your life is. If I can do that, if I can help you understand the plan, then you can orient and adjust to the plan on your own timetable whenever you want to. But that's why this show is here. We are not here to offer any useless human information, rather divine information from the Bible, from the canon of Scripture. And today I want to talk to you about something that I think is critical. But before I do, let me remind you, this is The Flatline, F-L-O-T. And if this is your first time to hear our show, FLOT is a military term. It stands for the Forward Line of Troops. We are using a military analogy to describe the way the Christian life operates. It's not unusual to do that. Paul the Apostle did it in the Bible. On many occasions, people in the Bible use military analogies. And so we're using an analogy of a main line of resistance, a flat line, a main line of resistance inside your soul. It's invisible. And it's made up of unique problem-solving devices found throughout the Bible. And if you learn these problem-solving devices, if you use them, then you will be able to stop the outside source of adversity before it ever becomes the inside source of stress. You cannot stop adversity. It's inevitable. But you do not have to have stress. That's optional. Because stress is what circumstances create in your life if you don't handle them. Adversity is what those circumstances do to you, yes, but stress, well, that's what you do to yourself. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be bitter. See what I'm saying? By learning problem-solving devices. And we've identified those problem-solving devices in a brief book called Christian Problem Solving. You can order it. It's free. We never sell anything on this radio show. It's all free. If you'd like to have one, simply contact me, Rick Hughes, P.O. Box 100, in the city of Cropwell, Alabama. Or if you want to just write to us on the old internet, you can simply write to Rick at rickhughesministries.org. And you can request that book. Or you can go to our website. Our website is simply rickhughesministries.org. And there you can see all the many books we've written. You can see a lot of wonderful things that we have put there for you. Take advantage of, as well as listen to any of the old past radio shows. It's up to you. So thank you. Thank you for your time. Thank you for listening today. Today I want to talk to you about a word that is dreaded in society. And yet a word that is essential because if you don't have it, you have nothing. You must understand it. You must come to grips with it. You must come to know what it is. You must come to realize it. It's a word called authority. Authority. That's right. Authority. Oh, you say, I don't like that word. Authority. Oh, I hate that word. I've hated that word ever since I was a kid growing up. Well, authority is, in fact, critical to the survival of any individual and to the perpetuation of any nation such as the United States of America. And one of the ways that you can tell the course of history of a nation is by watching how people handle authority, because it is critical. Now, let me define it. Authority is defined as the power to command, the power to judge, or the power to act by a person or by persons in whom authority is vested. You with me? Probably the first authority you ran into as a child was your parents. They represented authority. And then from there, you may have run into the authority of, let's say, the principal at the school. Or you may have run into the authority of, let's say, the policeman. Authority. That's right. We all have to face it. And if you've ever got a speeding ticket, if you ever got a paddling, if you ever got grounded, you've faced authority before. But all authority in life is divided into two general categories: legitimate authority and then sometimes illegitimate authority. But legitimate authority is established according to the scriptures, according to the word of God, according to the laws of the land. And it's always in accordance with the established rules or the principles or the standards of that land. So God has delegated legitimate authority. God has delegated legitimate authority in two categories. The temporal realm, that's your life right now while you're here temporarily, the temporal realm, and also the authority of the spiritual realm. Two different realms of authority. Spiritual authority resides in the Word of God and in its communication, that is, the person who teaches it, the pastor teacher, for example, as well as maybe the deacons in a local church whom the pastor delegates authority to. And temporal authority resides within the national life, like in Romans 13, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Our Lord Jesus Christ faced this, and he told the disciples, pay your taxes, be honest, don't cheat, don't lie, don't steal. But the Bible is clear about the spiritual realm of authority. Spiritual authority. Listen to Hebrews 13:17. Keep obeying those pastors who themselves are ruling over you, and submit to their authority. For these same pastors keep watching for the benefit of your soul as those who have to render an account. So keep obeying them in order that they may do this accounting with happiness and not with groaning, for this is unprofitable to you. Now, if you use the word authority and pastor in the same sentence, you may think someone's crazy. You know, I've seen a lot of people say, that pastor's not going to tell me what to do. He's not my boss. Some people talk like that. Some churches, they fire them as quick as they hire them. They have a board of deacons, and if the guy, the poor pastor, if he doesn't go along with what the board of deacons wants to go along with, they kick him out the door and hire somebody else that will. And this is really hard for a pastor who wants to teach the Bible and not play games, because a lot of times people would rather play games than learn God's word. The authority the pastor has is not in his position. No. That authority is in his message. If his message is accurate, if his message is from the Word of God, then that's where the authority comes from. And hopefully you are under a qualified pastor that teaches you the Bible. Now, it's inevitable. Arrogance always challenges legitimate authority. Always. Arrogance and authority don't mix. Oil and water don't mix, and arrogance and authority don't mix. So the response to authority must be the human volition saying, yes, I will obey. The function of authority is a matter of personal volition. It's a matter of you accepting the authority of the person that's over you. See, God, when God created you, he gave you a soul. And inside of your soul, God gave you mentality. That's the ability to think. God gave you volition. That's the ability to choose. God gave you a conscience, and he gave you a self-consciousness. These are all parts of your soul, and in your volition, God gave you the right to choose. You can choose. You chose what you wanted to wear this morning. You chose when you wanted to get up this morning, and you're choosing whether or not to listen to this radio show. So when you choose, it is the function of your volition and the acceptability of authority in this life is dependent upon your volition. Will you obey the police officer or will you not? Will you stop at the stop sign? That doesn't stand for skid tires on pavement. That's not what it means. It means stop. And so if you don't stop and you get a ticket, then how do you handle that? Do you get mad? Do you get angry? I mean, the internet is full of pictures of how people get frustrated and angry when a police officer gives them a ticket for violating the law. We have to handle that. Authority. And here's the key. You must learn about this. Authority may not always be fair. You heard me. Authority may not always be fair. Sometimes authority is unfair. Whether you react to the unfair authority by getting mad, getting emotional, getting angry, or whether you respond to the unfair authority with humility, that's the difference between the winner and the loser in life. In order to teach you respect for authority, God will put you under unfair authority at some time in your life. You will be accused of things you didn't do. You will be gotten on to for something that's not your fault. And if you can't handle it, if you get mad, if you get angry, if you blow up, if your eyes cross, if your face turns red, if steam blows out of your ears, then you have no humility. Humility starts with the ability to forgive someone, even when they're wrong. So you have to understand that. I remember a principal of a school that I knew whipping a boy for something that was not his fault, and he whipped him two or three times. And finally, on the sixth or seventh or eighth time that he paddled him, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, finally seven or eight times into it, the boy started crying and finally admitted what the problem was all along. And the problem was not he was not disrespectful to the teacher. The problem was he did not know how to read and he was trying to hide it. And thus he wouldn't read in class when she called on him. And she thought he was being a smart aleck. And the principal whipped a young man for something that wasn't his fault. And he could have sued the school. He could have said, I'm going to go home, get my father, and he's going to come up here and beat your brains out. You're unfair. But he didn't do that. He took it. He kept his mouth shut, and he took it. He handled it like a man. And he went on to learn how to read, and he went on to become one of the greatest football players ever in his state and got a full scholarship in college to play football as a result of that. But you see, arrogance can't handle that sort of testing. Arrogance would react to unfair situations, especially with authority involved. Arrogance results from the rejection of legitimate authority in life, and such arrogance is the source of a lot of evil and a lot of psychosis. Rejection of authority causes people to be degenerate, either morally or immorally. But rejection of authority does carry responsibility with it. And the results in a life of misery, when you reject authority, you set yourself up for a life of misery, a life of unhappiness. You set yourself up for a life of disaster and no human or spiritual self-esteem. All life starts with you orienting and adjusting to authority. It all started in the Garden of Eden the same way. God said, you can enjoy this, you can do whatever you want to, but do not do this. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what did Satan say? God is lying to you. God is trying to cover up. He doesn't want you. Why don't you go ahead and do this, Eve? And he was able to seduce Eve into eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And she thus also tempted Adam. You see, authority was disrespected, and the human race fell into sin. For by one man sin came into the world, and death by sin. That's what the Bible says. Now sin is passed on all. Now death is passed on to all, for all have sinned, and all have come short of the glory of God. Because of the act of Adam in the garden, you and I are born in a sinful condition. Because of the act of Jesus Christ on the cross, you and I have the opportunity to have our sins purged. We have the opportunity to have eternal life with God the Father. Freedom. Freedom is based on divine institutions. And those divine institutions operate under human volition. The sacredness of property, the sacredness of life, the sacredness of privacy, and the operation of government. It must be balanced in its protection of our basic freedoms. So if you have freedom and you have no authority, then you have nothing but anarchy. And if you have authority and you have no freedom, then you have nothing but tyranny. You can't operate under either system. You can't live under anarchy and you can't live under tyranny. That's not what God designed. So God set up a system of authority, and that system begins in the home. If you want to know what's going on in America today, if you want to see the future of America today, look into the homes. Look into the lives of the mamas and the daddies that are raising children today. Look into the school system. Look into the educational complex and see what's going on. You see, parents have authority in the home. And this authority is useless apart from training and discipline, which eventuates in a child, such as mine or yours, accepting the authority of the parent. That's why we have authority. That's why we have discipline. When young children, and I'm not giving an age here, I'm not saying 2, 3, 4, 5, I'm just telling you, young children must recognize the authority of their parents. I've seen children 2 and 3 years old throw a fit because they did not get their way. And so somehow or another, that parent must enforce humility when there is no genuine humility. Because as that 3 and 4 year old turns to 14 and 15 year old, then it's going to be too late. You see, as a result, if you enforce humility to your children, if you train your children to recognize the authority of their parents, they will in fact develop love, and they will in fact develop respect for their parents, if not now, later in life for sure. But if you reject the authority and don't teach this authority orientation to your children, if a child rejects the authority of his parents, he or she grows up to be a misfit in society. So here's a principle that I want to leave you with today as part of what we're studying, and here it is. You never really grow up until you learn to accept authority. We can go to the Bible in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, and see these things. Here the Apostle Paul wrote, children, obey your parents. This is where it all starts. Children, obey your parents. And then he uses a prepositional phrase, in the Lord. He goes on to say, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, That is, it may be well with you and you may live a long life on this earth. Now let me break this verse down. I want to dissect this verse. I want to do some exegesis with you. Children is the Greek word from the original Greek manuscript, not English, Greek, is the word technon, T-E-K-N-O-N. That's the way they said it, technon, and we translate it children. It's an offspring. It's a child. It's an offspring of a mother and a father who have a child. Children obey. And here is our verb, very strong verb. The word is pronounced hupakuo in the Greek morphology. Hupakuo. Hupa, H-U-P-A. Kua, orders. To be under orders. To listen to the command. To obey the command. To submit to the command. Hupakuo. Now, when a parent tells a child, clean up your room, that's an order. If the child gets mad, gets angry, goes in the room, slams the door, turns the music up loud, he's rejecting the authority. If a parent says, you cannot do this, and the child does it anyhow, he's rejecting authority. And so the Bible says here, obey your parents. Obey your parents. Ganous. The Greek word ganous, in the Lord. This is right. This is virtuous. Dikaios, it's upright. It's the correct thing to do. And we're talking to Christian children. The Apostle Paul is writing to Christian children, believing children. And what he's telling them is that the Bible gives some principles here. One, listen as I give you these principles. One, authority orientation must start in the home. Two, the design of discipline is always to enforce authority orientation. Three, humility is the result of authority orientation. Four, a runaway soul is a teenager who has no authority orientation and no humility in life. Five, this sort of person is unreachable without enforced humility, and that can be the police, the courts, and incarceration. Six, this is why it's critical that we train children when they're young. We must do that. It's critical. Or else we have freedom with no authority. And that's anarchy. So notice what verse 2 says. Honor your father and your mother. Now we have two words. Obey your parents and honor your father and your mother. Notice obey puts them together and honor separates them. I don't know why. But you know, parents do get a divorce. They do. And one of the worst things that any parent can do, a legitimate form of child abuse, is when one of the divorced parents tries to turn the child against the other parent. You do that and you are abusing a child. So the word honor is the Greek word timao, T-I-M-A-O. It means to value or venerate your parents. There is never a time when you're not to honor them. Now, you don't always have to obey them. No. Once you're out of the home, once you've moved on, then you're under a different sort of authority. The first commandment with a promise, the Bible says. What do you mean with a promise? Honor my parents, obey my parents, as a promise associated with it? Yes, there is. Exodus 20, verse 12. You want to hear it? Honor your father and your mother so that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God giveth you. Association with a long life starts with authority orientation. That's what it's saying. You want to live a long life? Then learn to orient to authority. In Ephesians 6:3, that it may be well with you and you may live long on this earth. So children, obey your parents, honor your father and mother, that it may be well with you and you may live a long time on this earth. And then an admonition to the fathers. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. The word nurture is the Greek word paideia. Paideia. And it is enforced humility with chastisement. We may get the word paddle from that. It's just as God does to us. Just as God does to us. Hebrews 12:5. And have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons? My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, and do not be discouraged when you're rebuked by him. God paddles us. As his children, when we step out of line, he disciplines us. Sometimes he scourges us. That's severe discipline. So the Bible says a parent is to raise a child with the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Admonition is the Greek word nousia. Nousia. N-O-U-T-H-E-S-I-A. It means, it comes from the word nous, which is mind. And nousia means exhortation or putting something in the mind. So there are two ways to train a child in authority orientation. Put something on one end, or put something in the other end. Success in life, it's interesting. Success in life depends on which end you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. So if you want to orient and adjust to the plan of God, it starts with you orienting and adjusting to authority. And if there's any one thing in America that we are in severe trouble with today, it is lack of authority orientation in a generation of young people that's coming up today. And the lack of authority orientation in the lives of those that have gone before them is evident from what we see in politics and what we see in history as it occurs before our very eyes. I hope you've understood this. I hope you're learning. And I hope you'll come back next week. Until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.